always be here. God bless you. Love and appreciate you. Let's stand together, going to the book of Luke chapter 15. For many of us, this is a familiar portion, but I'm going to do just a little bit different today. I'm not going to preach at all. I'm going to take a slice, and we're going to go a little different direction than we usually go. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Amen. The Lord bless you. My subject today is this: managing my father's blessings. Managing my father's blessings. The word manage means to exercise control over. Amen. Managing my father's blessings. Amen. We call this story, and it's not biblical. These titles that oftentimes are given to things are, you know, they're man's idea. It's not inspired. So we call this, and most of you have heard of this, it's been called the prodigal son. Most of us know it as the prodigal son, and that's okay. That's tradition, and tradition's oftentimes very good. And in one sense, it fits okay. In another sense, it does not. Just simply because the word prodigal means something different than most of us think. Brother Bacon mentioned that in the lesson here today, that, you know, it's important that if you don't really know what a word means, look it up. And if you think you know what it means, look it up. Amen. When I read the word prodigal, you know what comes to my mind? Out of context and because of what I've heard preached my whole life, I think of the word lost. But that's not what that word means. It has nothing to do with lostness. The word prodigal means generous. It means extravagant. It means lavish. Now that's a surprise, huh? Amen. And so when we think of it like that, was the son really generous? Was he really lavish? Was he really extravagant? In a selfish sense, yes. But I would say that title applies much more to the father. Because the father was generous, and the father was extravagant, and the father lavishly laid on his sons his very living. The Bible says that he divided to them his living, his bios. His bios, that means his present state of his existence or his livelihood. In the Bible, people did inheritance differently than it's done today. Most times, a parent would begin to relinquish portions of his and of the inheritance of his wealth to his children, to his sons, and in little pieces, so that they could manage it well. They didn't wait until they died and then let everybody fight over it. Well, that shouldn't have got quiet. I said, at least got one amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So really, there's wisdom there, isn't there? Amen. Let's see how you handle this, and let's see how you handle this, and let's see how you handle this. And so portions were turned over to the children. But it's a different picture here. And oh, what a picture it is. Look at this 12th verse. It said, "And the younger said to his father," he said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." You know what I see in those words? First of all, I see presumption. Could I just say this to you today? Thanks for your permission. Amen. Nobody owes you anything. Let me say that again in case you didn't hear it. Nobody owes you anything. Well, my mom and dad, they owe you nothing. If they put a roof over your head and they put food in your stomach, amen, and they see that you're clothed and they give you an opportunity for an education, don't you expect them to feed, to provide for you the rest of your life? And don't you look at their possessions as your possessions. If they want to sell it and buy bubble gum, that's their business. It's their possession. That's good preaching, Brother Grissom. I think I'll just shout a little bit. If there's one thing that gets my ire up, it's the entitlement mentality that so many people in this generation have that think somebody owes you something. The government owes me. You know who the government is? You're looking at him. And you know what I owe you? Nothing. You know who the government is? I'm looking at them. And you know what you owe me? Nothing. We need to get rid as Christians. But it says Christians. As Christians. Well, I'm an American. I may be, but first and foremost, I'm a Christian. My citizenship is the United States of America. But more importantly, I'm a citizen of a heavenly city with a heavenly king with streets of gold and eternal life. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I want us to get rid as Christians of the entitlement mentality. You talk about something that will bring you down and wear you out and make you bitter. It's going through your whole life selfishly thinking that people owe you something. Amen. I'm going to tell you who you owe. You owe God. He puts breath in your lungs. He puts strength in your muscles. He gives you a spirit of life every day that you live. Who you owe? You owe God. What he gave you is his gift to you. What you make of your life is what you owe God. Amen. That's good, Brother Grissom. Thank you for reminding me of that. Maybe the first time you've ever heard it. So, the young man comes, and he says, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You rotten little rascal. You spoiled little brat. How dare you go to your father asking for something that is his and his only to bestow. It is not owed to you. If you get it, it's a father's gift and the father's privilege. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Amen. Praise God. Now, this may not be shouting material, but nonetheless, I just want us to understand that that is not a right. Amen. It is a gift and it is a privilege. And God has given you and I gifts today. Amen. And God help us if we don't appreciate what God has given us. He's given you life. Man, I wish I had 2 hours to preach this, and I got 10 minutes. But I want to say this today. You know what I have. You know where I see the most problem with gifts? It's the same place Jesus saw it. You remember the parable of talents? One guy had 10 talents. He had no problem. One guy had 5 talents. He didn't have any problem. One guy had 1 talent. And he said, poor me. I just got 1 talent. Huh? If I'm preaching to any 1 talenters out there, you better find that talent and you better get busy with it. You better get busy with it. Hello? Hiding it's not going to do any good. Feeling sorry for yourself's not going to do any good. Excusing yourself's not going to do any good. Amen. You're going to give an account. That's not your talent, it's his. And one of these days he's going to ask for it back. And he's going to ask you what you did with it. This is not fun, is it? But it'll get better, I promise. The second thing was he was impatient. He couldn't wait for his daddy to die. He couldn't wait for his father in his own wisdom to say, "Well, sons, now it's time. I want to start giving you what I want to give you." He couldn't wait for that. He went in and said, "I want it now." Amen. You know another spirit of this generation? I want it now. You look at what your mom and daddy has accumulated over a period of 40, 50 years, and you want it now. Huh? Amen. I ought to have everything they have. Why? What have you done to earn it? Woo! You need to pay me what I'm worth. You couldn't live on that. You'd starve to death. What skills do you have? What are you bringing to the table here? Why are you of worth to your employer? Do you have any experience? Huh? Do you know how to do these things? See what I'm saying? Don't you go into a job expecting to be paid top wage just because you think he owes it to you. He's a businessman. You gotta make him some money before he's going to pay you. And if he sees that you're worth something, he's going to pay you. And if he sees he can't do without you, he's going to pay you more. So your job is not to stroll in there with an entitlement mentality thinking this company owes me something because I breathe God's air. Amen. Praise God. Brother Gunstanson, nobody does this at Brookshire's, I'm sure, but there's a place in the world this happens. Amen. Hello. Young people, you can't tell I'm preaching to you today. Amen. Don't you have an entitlement mentality? Amen. Praise God. You started at minimum wage. Thank God you get minimum wage. You know what minimum wage was when I started? $1.35 an hour. Huh? $1.35 an hour. That's what I made. And then I went to work on the oil rig because, man, I could make big money there. I made $3.10 an hour. Woo! Amen. Praise God. So don't talk to me about entitlement and how bad it is. You just learn to live. You know the difference in rich people and poor people? Because rich people learn to live within their means. And then they learn how to save and invest what's left over instead of spending it all. You know why your parents got a few things gathered? Because they learned how to live within means and then save a little bit and invest it and accumulate. So they didn't get it all in the first 3 years of life. Praise God. Thank you for telling me that, Brother Grissom. That really is going to help me out. Amen. Don't be impatient. Don't be impatient. I know you're 13 or 16 or 22 and you hadn't got it all yet. Well, just hang in there. If God's good, you're gonna have a few more years left. Save something for later. Y'all learned that from a Camden company, right? Eat some now, save some for later. There you go, now and laters. Third thing I learned from this is just blatant disrespect. Amen. Just to come to the Father demanding. You know what I appreciate about God? God's mature. And you're not going to push him around. You're not going to yank his chain. And you're not going to butter him up. And you're not going to manipulate him. Some folks get a wrong idea about faith. Some people say, well, you know, if you just got faith, God's bound by his word. God's got to do it. Oh, you don't know the same God I know. The God I know's got three answers. Yep, he answers prayer. Yes, no, and wait. Praise God, because my God's mature. He's not going to give me something unless I'm able to handle it or unless he wants to teach me something. Some times God will let me have something I don't really need just so he'll show, teach me a lesson. Say, see there, son? You didn't really need that, did you? Huh? That just about ate your lunch, didn't it? So you trust me next time. And if I say no, I'm not just saying no to say no to hurt your feelings, but I'm saying it for your benefit. And if I say yes, it's because I trust you. And if I say wait, it's because you're growing into something greater. Amen. Praise God. So I'm not going to get through. Man, we got to one verse though, didn't we? Praise God. So the Bible says that the prodigal father, the generous, extravagant, and lavish father, divided. Everybody said, to them. You see, not him. He divided. To them. I want you to know something about God. First of all, God is extremely generous. He lets people that breathe his air that don't even believe in him. He lets people live on his planet and eat his food that don't even believe in him. He lets people have talents that squander them and they don't even believe in him. Our God's extremely generous. And secondarily, our God is extremely impartial. It rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. God is impartial. He didn't just love the younger son. He also loved the elder son. And so he divided to them his. Everybody say his. I want you to emphasize that. His living. His present state of existence. His livelihood. It wasn't just a bunch of stuff left over. What it's saying is, it cost him something to make that decision. Amen. And so he divided to them generously and impartially. And the Bible says, and not many days after, but say not many days after. You know what that tells me? That tells me before he ever went to the Father, he had leaving on his mind. He had leaving in his heart. He already knew, as soon as I get my hands on that money, I am out of here. And you think the Father didn't know that? You think God doesn't know what your plans are? You think God doesn't know that you may squander your inheritance? And so he went to the Father divided, and he already had it on his mind. The Bible says, and he gathered all. Everybody say, gathered all. In other words, he's burning his bridges behind him. He said, when I leave here, I'm not leaving nothing in Daddy's house. Everything I've got, which is everything his father gave him. The clothes on his back, the shoes on his feet, everything he had, he said, that his father gave him. He said, I'm taking it all with me. I'm leaving nothing behind. So he gathered it all. He burned his bridges. And the Bible said he went to a far country. He didn't just try his wings. He said, I'm going to get away from my roots. I'm going to go someplace nobody knows me. And I am going to live the life the way I want to live life. And nobody is going to tell me what to do anymore. And he did. I think this 13th verse, my, it is amazing what God can say in so few words. He painted the years of a man's life in just a few words in this 13th verse. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all, took his journey to a far country. And it said, and wasted. Everybody say wasted. His substance. Partying. That's what righteous living means. Partying. Amen. Having a good time. Do you know why good times are good times? Because you don't do it every day. When I was a kid, we didn't have soft drinks in our house. And I said, when I get grown, I'm going to drink Cokes every day. My favorite meal when I was a kid was hamburgers. When I get old, I'm going to eat hamburgers every day. Amen. Well, you know what? I don't drink Cokes. I drink Diet Dr. Pepper. And other stuff. But nonetheless, and I don't eat hamburgers every day. I like hamburgers. I still like hamburgers, but not every day. Not every day. Every other day. And when Sister Grissom's not home, I can fry a mean hamburger, I'm telling you. Woo! Amen. And Whataburger eats your heart out. Amen. And but you see, that's the mentality, isn't it, of the immature. I'm going to do this every day because this is great. But you see, if you can do it every day, it's not special anymore. When I was a kid, Mom would bring home a watermelon. Man, I would salivate all day just waiting. When are we ever going to cut that thing? Yeah. Now, I almost let one rot the other day. Just because I just got busy and just didn't stop to eat it. And I should have. Amen. You see, but I don't have that same anticipation because I could have cut it anytime I wanted to. I'm not waiting on Mama anymore. So what are you saying, Brother Grissom? I'm saying good times are good times because they're rare. Vacations are vacations because you vacate. You do something different. Amen. Well, I'm going to go on vacation every day. Then it'll be work. It won't be a vacation. That's why these people, these entertainers and wealthy people that don't have anything to do, those that are just pursuing pleasure, they're miserable. Because nothing special. Nothing. Amen. Praise God. It's only special if you don't get to do it every day. Right? So he partied, amen, and he wasted his substance. Because he just thought, well, that's what you do. And pursuing pleasure, and there is none. Anything you do every day, and anything that it becomes a job, it becomes work, it becomes a pursuit. Amen. I've tried everything else, and so what else can I try? Solomon did that. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and the recurring phrase, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The guy made $19 billion a year. He was a king. Nobody could tell him what to do. He could tell anybody what to do. He had everything his heart desired. He lived in a house. It took him 13 years to build it. And finally just quit because, I mean, how big a house can you live in? Amen. He had everything. He was off the charts, IQ. He was brilliant. Had it all. And he gave himself to trying to find the purpose of life. And he talked about it. I have men servants. I have women servants. He had what? He had, we question his wisdom here, 300 wives. 700 concubines. Can you imagine feeding that bunch? Bible tells you how much, what it was. It is a lot of food, man. Just to feed that many mouths came to his house. Amen. Can you imagine how many pairs of shoes? New dresses. Good thing you made $19 billion a year. Amen. Amen. Wrote songs, poetry. Had anything you wanted. Any kind of food, any kind of drink, anything. Travel, anything you wanted to do. And he did it all. And he said, vanity of vanities, all is. And then here's what he said. He said, here's what it boils down to. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the bottom line. And he said, serve your Creator in the days of your youth. That's the whole thing. That's what it all boils down to. That's from a man that had it all. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm a long ways from finished, but I'm through. Amen. We may just take it up again tonight because I got a long way to go. Praise God. But wasted his substance. Wasted his time. You know, every moment you have, once you spend it, you can't get it back. Those of us are those that are worriers today. Every moment you spend worrying, you're not ever going to get it back. Those of you that are angry today and bitter, every moment you live in anger and bitterness, you'll never get it back. Every moment we have, we spend. You can't save. We talk about saving time. You can't save time. One thing you can't save is time. Daylight savings time. You're not saving any time. You're not saving any daylight. It's just numbers on the face of a clock. We can't save it. We spend it. We spend it. Amen. And we need to understand that. Praise God. He's wasted his time. Wasted his talents. Wasted his treasure. This is a thought today that struck me. This man's ruin was financed by his father's blessings. His ruin was financed with his father's blessing. You see, once God gives a gift, he never takes it back. You can abuse it, you can misuse it, but God won't take it away from you. That's why we have gifted people using God-given gifts, Father's blessings, for selfish gain. We have singers singing songs using God's gift for illicit gain, squandering the Father's blessing. Squandering the Father's blessing in selfish pursuits and all kinds of talents. All kinds of talents. People squandering their gifts. Amen. God, give. How are you managing your Father's blessing? God has given you some things today. How are you managing what He gave you? How am I doing with my time? How am I doing with my talents? How am I doing with my treasure? There you go, preacher. You got to bring money into it. Oh, yeah. You know why? Because the Bible said where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I just got to look at these things and ask a question. I'm asking Johnny Grissom. You have to answer for yourself, but I'm asking myself today. And believe me, I saw this was like looking in a mirror. How am I managing my Father's blessings? They're not mine. Everything I have comes from Him. How am I managing my Father's blessings? I'm asking you that question today, and you're the only one that can answer it. You're the only one that can answer it. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. Jesus, the Bible said that we are to be good stewards. What we have is not ours, it's yours, but we are in charge of what we do with it. For a few years of time that we call life, we are responsible for certain gifts and talents and possessions that you allow us to control. And God, help me. I really need help today to wisely use what you have given to me. When that day comes that I stand before the throne of the righteous judge and I must give account, help me to do it with joy. Help me to stand as the 10-talent man and say, well, you gave me 10, I've made 10 more. Or the 5-talent man and say, you gave me 5, and here's 5 more. Don't let me be in the company of the one that said, I was ashamed, so I hid what I had. But here it is. It's a little dirty and soiled and stained because I buried it, but here it is. God, help me today to manage my Father's blessings wisely. My time, my talents, and my treasure. Amen. I never want to close without giving people a chance to pray. There might be some